Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Good morning, world, and welcome into Trust the Tape, episode 10. What's today's date? 10.10.18.
Yeah.
Welcome into 10.10.18. Today's episode is called Texas is Back. Like I've been telling Dane Brugler all year, just thought coming, knew it all along. We have got a wonderful episode of Trust the Tape for you. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh at JC1053 on Twitter, alongside the great Dane Brugler at DP Brugler on the Twitter. You can find his work on The Athletic, DallasCowboys.com, 105.3 The Fan, where you can also hear my lovely voice from 10 to 3, Monday through Friday. Dane, we had a nice little college football weekend, but my new tradition is to start this thing with our rookie roundup, because we are the authorities of rookies in the NFL, better than anyone that's ever studied rookies. And today I want to talk about Denzel Ward, the number 4 overall pick. For the Cleveland Browns, some people thought that might have been a mistake to leave the pass rusher Bradley Chubb on the board and take Denzel Ward. And I'm not going to say Chubb has been a disappointment, but I will say Denzel Ward has exceeded probably most people's expectations and just matched mine, because I thought that he was about a perfect corner, minus an inch, or an inch and a half.
Right.
He's awesome.
That's the thing, is Chubb and Ward were very similar in terms of grades on my board. I think one was 4 overall, one was 5 overall. I mean, so they were very close. And it just came down to what was needed more for the Browns, because they were on a similar level. And they had Myles Garrett, obviously, and then it had Emmanuel Ogba. But then you also, as soon as they drafted Denzel Ward, he was the best corner on that team. So, and he's played like it so far. You love the play personality, the confidence, the speed. The technique has been outstanding. I mean, when you're going up against NFL quality wide receivers, guys that are savvy route runners, you better have your technique down, and Ward does, and really impressive. Against the Ravens, he had 5 tackles, 3 passes defended, 1 interception, which came in the red zone. Then he had a blocked field goal right before halftime. I mean, without Denzel Ward, the Browns don't win that football game. That simple. So, early returns on John Dorsey's first round. Obviously, with the 1st and 4th overall pick.
That would be a lot of fun. I'd like to have those picks.
You should be able to have glowing things to say about those picks. But it's not quite that easy. But, you know, credit to John Dorsey, Baker Mayfield at 1, Denzel Ward at 4. Both have, I think, made a huge impact so far and look like cornerstones of this franchise moving forward.
That team is such a totally different animal since they changed quarterbacks.
Oh, like, yeah.
I thought that they would be a team that, I believe I had a bet this year with somebody that they would win at least 6 games, and I bet that they would be a playoff team next year. I'm a Baker believer.
Yeah.
Baker believer. And like, he re-energized that entire locker room, that entire team, like the talent. They've got talent there.
Oh yeah,
they've got talent there.
Oh well, they got talent
on the O line. They got talent on that defense. They got young, good weapons.
They just need a head coach.
Yeah, they do need a head coach. Yeah, them and a couple other towns.
Well, this is why I was so critical of, you know, Hugh Jackson not even entertaining the idea of Baker Mayfield competing for the starting job during training camp. Like, I mean, it just looks silly now.
He needed to learn from Tyrod.
Yeah, give me a break. I mean, if any of these quarterbacks in this rookie class was able to carry the burden of a winless team and help this offense move forward, it was Baker Mayfield, and he's done that so far. So, you know, credit to him. Obviously, he still makes mistakes. He made plenty of mistakes in that game on Sunday against Baltimore, but if Tyrod Taylor starts that game, they probably don't win. Simple as that.
Okay, now I want to go back to Denzel Ward for a second, because on the radio yesterday I went with this, and I immediately had to amend it, but I started off going with this, that football has become such a passing game where, I don't have numbers in front of me, but I bet the NFL on average throws the ball about 65% of the time. That's my guess. That it's become so important that corners, I said at first were more important than pass rushers, that I would rather have like Jalen Ramsey than a great pass rusher. I did have to amend that immediately when my buddy Mike Bask was like, well, what about what Khalil Mack has done for the Bears? And I guess it's a little different because what one pass rusher can do, but it kind of goes to the Bradley Chubb versus Denzel Ward thing where I'll never kill you for picking a cornerback over a pass rusher in a passing league. I think we've gotten to the point where it's even. Mm. Now, one corner can't do a whole lot if they just throw to everyone else, but that your ability as a team to cover will dictate your season as much, if not more, than your ability to get after their quarterback. That I'll go with.
It's
maybe not down to one player, but your team's ability to cover.
Yeah.
You go 0-16 and rush the passer well if you can't cover.
It's debatable. Chicken or the egg kind of thing, because if your front can get pressure and force bad decisions, then maybe you can live with ordinary corners. I think maybe the better way to say it is it's more important to have, like, if you can have an elite pass rusher or an elite corner, I think you'd rather have the elite pass rusher. You know, what Khalil Mack can do is so impactful. And what Jalen Ramsey could do is great. But like you said, he's only covering one guy. And if you have an elite pass rusher, he can impact the quarterback before it's even a factor what that corner can do.
But I think it's gotten so hard. Now, the elite pass rusher can get home in a second and a half, right, and that's great. I think it's gotten so hard to get to the quarterback because so many teams are just focusing on get the ball out,
yeah,
pick play, the ball's out of my hand. Like, I got to cover.
Yeah. And you can, to a certain degree, you can scheme against pass rush. You know, whether you look at what McDaniels has done in New England for a while with Tom Brady, using slot receivers, using tight end down the seam, you can scheme against what the defense does really well. And that's what smart coaches will tell you. Smart coaches prepare for what you do really well, not for what you do poorly. You know, they're not trying to attack your weaknesses. They're going to plan for what you do really well, take that away, and then subsequently they're going against your weaknesses, but they start with taking away your strengths.
Oh, the Bill Belichick. How could we lose this game? Let's not let that happen.
Exactly. So, I think we see that throughout the league, and so I think that does, help your theory, but it is interesting, and I think that, if we see more corners start to impact the game more, then that'll only help. But Denzel Ward is certainly doing his part in Cleveland.
Okay, now, college football recap of the weekend. Dane, I've been telling you all year that Texas is back. Remember, you can obviously check the archives. Please don't. That Texas is clearly back. And the win over OU in the Red River showdown rivalry shootout battle. I forgot what we're allowed to call it these days. I know it can't be a shootout because too often on the Red River, what happened was fans would show up with muskets and shoot at each other.
Really?
So we couldn't call it the shootout anymore.
I put shootout in my article and my editor changed it.
Of course, to showdown? Is it showdown now?
Yeah.
I thought it was rivalry for a minute, but now I think it's showdown. The Red River showdown. And Texas wins, and they have now cleared the TCU hurdle and the OU hurdle. Now, you said Texas isn't back until they beat both of those teams and were not surprised. I do think people were surprised. But that is still a heck of a step in the right direction for UT.
They're not back, but they're on the trajectory of being back. You know, the way they're playing, especially when you consider how they looked in week one against Maryland, they look like a much improved team. They're playing like a confident team, like a motivated team. Credit to Tom Herman and that coaching staff for getting their guys ready. Sam Ehlinger played the game of his life. Now, I think I almost feel like we learned, it was more about, and I promise you, I'm not trying to take anything away from Texas, but it was almost more about Oklahoma's just awful defense and inability to take away what Texas is trying to do. It's not like Texas can beat you in, 10 different ways on offense. They're pretty predictable with what they're going to do. Oklahoma still couldn't do anything about it. So, credit to Texas for taking advantage of that. But, we with Coach Stoops being fired over the weekend because of that. That's on Lincoln Riley. Why didn't you make that move over the offseason? I think if you're going to make that move a month into the season.
He's a Stoops. You can't be firing Stoopses.
I understand it's
awkward.
You don't
fire Stoopses.
He did it over the weekend.
Well, that was different. He lost to Texas.
If you had a better defense in the playoff last year, maybe you beat Georgia and go and face Alabama in the national title. Maybe you win it all with Baker Mayfield as your quarterback. If you have just an average defense, So,
and Oklahoma got exposed. Like, I'll leave it to you to tell me if they have talent on defense. But for me, I can't tell you because they can't play defense.
No,
I said going into that game, I went to the Oklahoma-Baylor game. They can't tackle. They can't tackle.
Yeah.
They can't get pressure. And
they have a very young defense. Cover. Yeah, they have a very young defense. They don't have a single senior on that team, on that defense, that's going to be drafted. So you have a lot of young guys, a lot of promise, but a lot of inconsistency, and it shows. Look, again, not taking anything away from Texas because they took advantage of it, but you know, if to take Texas seriously, they're going to have to win out. And so that's going to be wins against West Virginia in November. You know, going to Lubbock, not always the easiest place to play. So it kind of, in one way, reminds me of Ohio State in 2014. Remember when they lost to Virginia Tech in that opener?
No, I'm not a college football encyclopedia.
Okay. First year of the playoff, they lost to Virginia Tech in the opener, and then they won out. They looked like a much different team towards the end of the season. They get into the playoff over TCU and Baylor. And then, obviously, they go on to win the national title, beat Alabama, beat Oregon. Texas, they look like a much different team than the opener when they lost to Maryland. Now, can they finish strong? And if they finish not only beating a West Virginia, beating a Texas Tech, and you know, finishing out this Big 12 schedule, but maybe a rematch against Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. If they do that,
Big 12 ain't going to the playoff, Dane.
They have a strong, if Texas wins out, they'll have a strong case to do it.
Well, we will need, because I just look at it and it's like, oh, Alabama's going undefeated, Georgia's going undefeated until the title game, Clemson's going undefeated, Notre Dame's going undefeated, which probably won't happen.
I'd say
you'll probably be right.
In the history of the playoff, we've never had four undefeateds.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and we won't have four, because Georgia or Alabama will have a loss.
True. Yeah, true.
We'll have three undefeateds and another SEC team.
Well, and how do you?
It won't happen. Somebody's going to stumble.
Let me
probably
ask you this.
Multiple somebody.
How do you view an undefeated 12-0 Notre Dame versus a 12-1 Texas? Again, that one loss being in the season opener. So it was way back first week of September. Meanwhile, they're a much different team with quality wins. Maybe two against Oklahoma. A quality win against West Virginia. You know, a quality win against TCU. So,
Notre Dame will really just have Michigan and Stanford wins.
Yeah,
because the Florida State win when they get it later will be nothing. So
USC
will the USC win?
Probably won't. The game's at USC, but still, you don't think USC is going to be ranked?
I would probably give it to Texas because I hate that Notre Dame dodges a title game because they don't have a conference. I hate that. Hate that. Hate that. But I think if Notre Dame goes undefeated, I think that the college football committee, they'll put them in.
I think you're right, yeah. It's an interesting debate because, and again, that's why the Big 12, that 2014 playoff when Baylor and TCU were left out, basically the reason they put in the Big 12 championship game is so they did have that 13th game that could potentially differentiate themselves. And so Notre Dame, Texas would both have 12 wins. And you can make an argument that Texas might have the more impressive wins, especially if Oklahoma and West Virginia keep winning and keep, you know, they look like top 20 teams. So it's going to be, that'd be an interesting debate. But I do agree with you, brand. You know, I mean, not anything against Texas.
I mean,
but
it's two really big brands.
It is. It is, no question. So we'll have to see how everything else plays out. Ohio State, October should be a cakewalk. And then once we get to November, Michigan State and Maryland and then Michigan. Michigan's a much better team than what we saw in week one against Notre Dame. Michigan's going to be a tough test for Ohio State. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And then Clemson, NC State in 2 weeks, undefeated NC State. Now, NC State hasn't played anybody. We still don't know much about NC State, but
Clemson's got sunshine at quarterback now. They're in good shape, Dane.
As much as NC State...
As long as he doesn't run into somebody head first for no reason.
It's just possible. He's a freshman. Mm. NC State, as much as they lost last year, you know, as many draft picks as they had last year, they still got guys on that team that are big play guys. I mean, Ryan Finley at quarterback. A lot of people like Ryan Finley. He might not be one of their top three draft picks. I really like Kelvin Harmon, the wide receiver, Jermaine Pratt, the linebacker. The center is really good. The left tackle is going to move inside the guard. He's another draftable guy. So NC State has some players that could give Clemson some trouble in 2 weeks.
Okay, other games of note over the weekend. I've got about three of them or so. The highest ranked one would be what? Was that our Florida game?
Yeah.
Was that our
LSU Florida game? Was what, ranked five?
Yeah, LSU, Florida. And Florida wins. Condolences to our friends at Cowboys.com, Brian Broaddus and Dave Hellman. Obviously a tough day at the office for them. Is Florida for real?
The difference in that game was Florida had number 99 and LSU didn't. Number 99 being polite. The pass rusher who wasn't very polite to LSU.
Dane has good jokes even in his Jordan flu game today.
Yeah,
coming off of
exactly.
a rough week. Rough week for Dane.
Strep throat. You know, when you have two kids under 2 years old and you have a wife that teaches fourth grade, you're gonna get sick. It's inevitable.
Yeah, I think I would just I wouldn't hang out with the kids until they hit when do they stop getting sick so much? About 10? I think that's when I would come into their lives.
I'll look forward to that day.
Okay.
My daughter turns 2 today, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday, little Brugler.
Little Kara. We're going to the fair, so shoot me now. I'm excited to get some fair food, and it's not supposed to be too hot today, which will be good.
Yeah, I had a corny dog at the Texas
OU
game.
Any other fried food?
No, I don't do
that. By the way, what was going through your mind when Texas kicked that field goal? That had to be just a surreal moment for you.
You know, it was tough, Dane, as a... fake Oklahoma fan. It was a tough day. You know, it was really just, it made me feel so bad. I was telling everybody that I was with the girlfriend and her family and friends, and they're all Oklahoma fans. And I told them, I said, the good news about this at 45-45, I said, is college kickers suck. That's the good news. College kickers can't kick.
But you didn't account for Dicker.
Yeah, and once they got to about, it was like 48 yards away, I was like, 48, college kickers won't make that. And then it was like, okay, now it would be 43, college kicker won't make that. Then it was like, okay, it looks like it's going to be 40. I said, college kicker might make that, but they could easily miss, and he didn't miss.
Dicker the kicker.
Shout out to Donger.
Back to the Florida LSU, though. Yeah. Polite, number 99, he's been kind of a revelation this year. He showed some flashes last year, but this year he's been unblockable with that edge speed. Not the biggest guy. He's about 6'2", 245 pounds.
That's too small to wear 99.
But
he's wear a single digit.
He's got some upper body explosion. He's really fast. Chases down from the backside. He's got it, threw out a spin move. Joe Burrow is running for his life. And that was really the difference. Is LSU didn't have a 99 that could consistently get after the quarterback Felipe Franks, which allowed him, Florida, to move the ball. Where Joe Burrow looked like he was always running for his life because LSU would adjust and put a running back to number 99 side of the field, then that opened the side for C.C. Jefferson or Zuniga or one of the other pass rushers on Florida's front to get after the LSU pocket. So credit to Florida. They're playing well. Mississippi State last week, LSU this week. Dan Mullen's got his guys playing well, and Ja'Chai Polite is looking like a first-round player that we'll be talking about at length throughout the draft process.
Next, Auburn, you phonies. Auburn, 23-9, they lose to Mississippi State. Now, going on the road's always tough, Dane. It's always tough in the SEC. But 9 points. Jarrett Stidham, the Auburn quarterback, who's considered a really good NFL prospect, I didn't see this game, but 19 of 38 for 214 yards. Scheme hold him back? Receivers hold him back? What holds him back? Because for now, I just see a toolsy guy.
Yeah, and I wrote about this week on The Athletic about how two SEC quarterbacks came in highly rated, Jarrett Stidham and Drew Locke, both are disappointed so far this year. And with Stidham, yes, you have to absolutely look at the offense. I talked to a scout about Stidham and the offense as a whole. He said if our offense in the NFL is a 10, the Auburn offense is a 3. In terms of, what they're asked to do, the playbook, and especially throwing the ball through the air. And so Stidham, I mean, that holds him back in terms of, where he is mentally and what they asked him to do in that offense. But at some point, you just have to make the throws. And he's missing several throws. And the biggest worry I have, and I mentioned this in week one, even when they had that good win against Washington in the season opener, I mentioned on our show after that game that it still worries me that if there is any sign of pressure, he clams up, he does not create those second chance throws. And for a guy with his athleticism and with his arm, you better be able to create those second chance throws. In the NFL, and this is a broad generalization, but the studies say that 40% of the time in the NFL, your offense will work exactly like you designed it. You know, simple 3-5-step drop back, get the ball out, fire. The other 60% of the time, things fall apart and you have to move your feet as a quarterback. You have to work through your progressions and, you know, create something. You have to improvise a little bit. And that 60% in the NFL is what is the weakness of Jarrett Stidham right now. So you can't really look at him as a viable first-round player right now. And I think the offense holds him back. The offensive line at Auburn holds him back. But you have to, I mean, all things considered, there's just no way you can look at him as a first-round player right now.
What about Drew Lock, the Missouri quarterback you mentioned? They lose to South Carolina 37-35. He is 17 of 36 for 204 yards and two picks. Where are the quarterbacks, Dane?
And in all fairness, it was a monsoon for the, you know, second half or for most of the second half. So that played a part. But I compared Drew Lock to kind of a three-point shooter at the Y. You know, like he steps up. He kind of abandons his technique. He fades away, opens his shoulder, and just lets his arm do everything. And, you know, it works for him a lot of times because he was blessed with a golden arm. I mean, he's Derek Carr, in my opinion, brings back those types of flashbacks. But it's ball placement, decision making, it's just too streaky. And you see that week in, week out, and he's missing his top receiver. But with an arm and a skill set like Drew Lock, you should be able to compensate and adjust. And he has not been able to do that up to this point. So he did really well in the first few weeks, Drew Lock did, against non-conference opponents. The last 2 weeks against SEC competition, 47% completions, 3 interceptions, only 1 touchdown, and that was a rushing touchdown. Mm. So for Drew Lock, he needs to finish strong in the second half, or, you know, he can kiss his chances at the first round goodbye. He needs to play better.
My guy Will Greer, 330 yards, 4 touchdowns, and don't worry about the 3 picks.
My guy
Will Greer doesn't mind throwing interceptions.
Against,
he doesn't mind.
Against
the great Kansas Jayhawks. Yeah. Solid Big 12 team there.
Same thing with Will Greer. Nothing really matters for Will Greer until November in terms of his pro prospects. I mean, it's great that he's playing well, but until he does it against Texas, Oklahoma, the toughest opponents on his schedule, you know, it's hard to be too impressed with what he's done based on, you know, your opinion of coming in. Now, if you're seeing Will Greer for the first time, sure, you're going to be impressed. But, you know, for those that watched Will Greer last year and studied him, it's hard to be impressed with what he's done up to this point just because he hasn't truly been tested yet.
Okay, any other games worth noting that I did not note? I'm looking. And I don't see any more games. Well, A&M, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Texas A&M beat Kentucky.
Credit to A&M. Jimbo Fisher's got those guys. I mean, a year ago, A&M's not winning that game. Jimbo Fisher's really making a difference with the culture and the way they attack the game plan. They took Benny Snell away. And with Benny Snell ineffective, the quarterback, Wilson, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't compensate. And it's too bad because that Kentucky defense really played well. Josh Allen, again, another great game. He's really helped himself. He's moving up each week on draft boards with what he's done. A few other notes just from the weekend. Amon Richards, a wide receiver from Miami. Hurricanes, a great comeback win against Florida State. But bad news after the game. Amon Richards, he is retiring from football because of a neck injury. He's barely played. He had 1 catch this year. He's barely played. It was a neck injury that really kind of, and he was a first round player. If he's healthy,
I'll still draft him.
He's a first round player.
I'll still draft him in case he wants to come out of retirement. Use a 7 on him. Yeah. See what happens.
I don't think he's might neck injuries. Can't really mess with that.
Nah, you can mess with that. Listen, doctors are so good these days.
Yeah,
we'll just go in there and put a new one in. We'll be fine.
There are over 250 players in college football, FBS, who have a sack so far this year. Ed Oliver, he's not one of them.
Yeah, what's going on? What are we doing? Are we really comfortable with him in the top 2 or 3 picks?
It's tough because when you're talking about Houston, where they've got one guy on that defensive line that's going to get drafted. You know, it's an NFL guy.
Yeah, Aaron Donald at Pitt, what was around him? I mean, he sacked quarterbacks 500 times a game.
True.
He just kept doing it.
And Ed Oliver's used as a nose tackle. So he's lined up right over the center, and he's constantly seeing double teams from the guard and center. Now, he's frequently getting into the backfield and making things happen. I think he's at 6.5 tackles for loss on the year, so he's averaging just over a tackle for loss each game. But, you know, for him, it's when you defense, when offenses, it's a classic case of offenses taking away Ed Oliver and saying, everyone else, you can beat. If you beat us, great. But we're not going to let Ed Oliver beat us. And so we're seeing that now. I don't think his stock is dropping by any means. He's still playing lights out. I do think that there's going to be a debate about, you know, is he truly a top three type of pick? Because he's not going to fit every defense, what every defense wants to do. He's, you know, there's some question about, you know, is he big enough and all that. So we're going to hear about that a lot throughout the process. Now, I still think he's a top three, top five player in this draft, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's viewed as more of a top 10 player by teams, you know, and we're not talking about him as that no-brainer top two or three guy.
Okay, what else do we have in the scouts notebook? I got nothing left, Dane. I'm out. This is you. Dane came in today, and he's like, hey, you know, coming off the strep throat could be tough. You might have to carry me a little bit. I said, Dane, I went to the Texas OU game, and I watched some football. I said, but I don't have the carries today. I just don't have them, you know? This is a you day.
We have to mention Tua.
Number one overall pick in how many months away are we?
2020 draft.
Yeah, 2020 draft, 2-T, number one overall.
Hey,
take Jake Fromm, I'll take this guy who throws it wrong-handed. Take 2-T.
He is the only quarterback in FBS who has yet to throw an interception.
He's a freak.
Now, he's completing 75% of his passes.
Is that all?
1,500 yards.
Is that all?
18-0 touchdown interception ratio.
Still hadn't played in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, exactly.
I
don't think so either. And now, Alabama, you could say, who have they really played so far? It's going to get a lot tougher, you know, against LSU, against Auburn, probably against Georgia in the title game. And so we'll see how he does in those games. But, yeah, I mean, how are you not, I mean, just mesmerized by what he's done up to this point? He's the clear Heisman favorite at this point.
Against Arkansas, he threw for 334 yards and 4 scores on 13 pass attempts.
That's just silly. What do you do? I mean, how do you defend that?
You don't.
Now, and Dwayne Haskins, Will Grier, both played really well, and they're in the Heisman discussion, but it's really Tua's to lose at this point. And I know it's early. It's, you know, October 10th, but still, that's how it goes. Talk a little bit about some games we have coming up this weekend. The biggest one in my mind that I have my eyes on, Washington going to Oregon. We're going to see Justin Herbert now.
I'm here for Browning. Is Browning still at Washington? What's he in his 40th year?
The Ken Dorsey of,
yeah, buddy.
Justin Herbert. Now this is going to bring up an interesting debate, something I'm writing about for my weekend preview. Justin Herbert has started 20 games now at the college level. He has, and you know, this goes into the whole debate about quarterback wins and win-loss record, how it applies to quarterbacks. But I think we can all agree that NFL teams, when they are scouting quarterbacks, they want to see quality wins on the resume. They want to see wins over ranked teams, over going on the road, beating a team that maybe is a little bit better than you. They want to see that on the resume. And Herbert doesn't have that. He's only beat one team that was ranked over his 20 starts, and that was his true freshman season against Utah. Now, should they have beat number 7 Stanford? Week 4, yes, they should. Herbert played a near perfect game in the first half. That's why whenever you talk about win-loss records with quarterbacks, context is provided. You need context. And so, yes, they should have beat Stanford a couple weeks ago, but they didn't. And so in those 20 starts, Herbert has a 12-8 record, and he's missing that signature win. But going up against number 7 Washington this Saturday, that would qualify as a signature win because Washington has a really good defense and a dynamic secondary. Byron Murphy, Jordan Miller, the safeties, Rapp, McIntosh, they've got a legit secondary. So if Herbert is able to go up against that Washington defense, come away with a victory, and look impressive doing so, that is the signature win that NFL teams have been looking for. Because
somebody's got to go number one as a quarterback. And we're looking around for anybody else.
Yeah,
it's Herbert.
It is absolutely Herbert. And I mean, it was Herbert over the summer. It was Herbert when we started the season. It's Herbert now. It's going to be Herbert if he comes out. If he declares, it'll be Herbert in April. But you know, remember Sam Darnold last year? He had a rough 2017 season for USC. The surrounding cast didn't help him, but he struggled. But what did scouts keep going back to? That they kept going back to the Penn State Rose Bowl the year before as that signature win that Darnold had. Like, oh, we saw him do it in that game. We know he can do it. And, I mean, I was saying that, too, just because we saw him do it against Penn State, who's so impressive doing it, leading that team to victory, that, you know, you kind of hang your hat on that. And Herbert just doesn't have that type of victory on his resume yet, but that could come on Saturday. It's an afternoon game. It's a 3:30 Eastern start, so it's what, like a noon 12:30 start on the West Coast. It should be a lot of fun to watch how that transpires. You're going up against a really good Washington defense and a veteran quarterback on the other side of the ball and a really good coaching staff. So I am excited to watch how 5-1 Washington goes into Oregon and faces a 4-1 Ducks squad.
Ooh, we do have a couple other good ones, though.
We do.
We do get to see Drew Lock go on the road and play Alabama. If you'd like to bounce back from having some struggles this year, young man, go do it against the number one team in the country. That'd be nice. Georgia, LSU.
That'll be a good game.
Number two, Georgia, going to LSU.
Yeah. Well,
could we see Georgia take a loss here?
Georgia's been a little disappointing this year. They're a really talented team. I think they're not quite on Alabama's level, but they're really close, and they're on the short list. Really, when you look at the national landscape, there are five teams that you look at as kind of they're the five horses out in front of everybody, and that's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. After those five, you have question marks, and you have losses, and everything else. So Georgia's one of those teams, but they still have not played up to their potential. They're making some mistakes. They're still gelling as an offense. Had to replace a lot on defense, so they're still figuring things out there. LSU, we'll see how they feel coming off that loss in Gainesville. They're back at home in Baton Rouge for this one. Should be an interesting game. We'll see how it plays out. I'm interested to see Colorado at USC. Colorado's undefeated. Steven Montez doesn't get enough love for what he's done.
Rashawn Salaam.
Chenault. Have you seen Chenault at wide receiver yet?
Oh my gosh.
This guy he takes over games like few wide receivers are able to do. That's going to be a fun one to see how undefeated Colorado goes into USC and see how they play. We have Wisconsin at Michigan. I believe that's the game day game. I believe they're going to Ann Arbor, I think. So
it looks like it's at Wisconsin.
Oh, is it?
Wait. Yeah. Wait, no. Michigan versus Wisconsin. I'm used to the bottom team listed being the home team, but it says Michigan versus Wisconsin. So it sounds like it's at Ann Arbor.
Yeah, Ann Arbor. And so we'll see. You know, Wisconsin's still a very good team. I mean, that BYU loss looks like kind of a little bit of an anomaly, especially at the BYU, just got trounced by Washington. But, you know, Washington's, like I said, Michigan's playing a lot better than they did in the opener against Notre Dame. Shea Patterson's playing a lot more consistent. The defense, we know the defense is light out. Rashawn Gary has missed a few games with injury. We'll see if he plays, assuming he does play, at what level he plays in this one, because they'll need him. We know what Wisconsin can do on offense. We know what Michigan can do on defense. That's going to be a lot of fun to see those two teams match up on that side of the ball.
I haven't heard a lot about Jonathan Taylor, the guy who kind of stormed onto the scene for Wisconsin last year as a freshman, ran for almost 2,000 yards. He is on pace to do even more this year.
I just say he's still ranked. He's like second in the nation in rushing.
Five games, he's at 850 yards. He's getting over 6.5 per, and he scored 8 touchdowns. So Jonathan Taylor is a name that I guess we just don't talk about non-quarterbacks this year for Heisman with what Tua and Kyler Murray and whoever else are doing. He's having a nice one.
Do you know who's number one in the league or in the FBS in rushing?
No, I don't.
Darrell Henderson from Memphis.
Is he good?
He's going to become the nation's first 1,000-yard rusher this weekend.
Is he good?
He's in the Devontae Freeman mold, where he's undersized.
He just runs really, really hard.
He's small and he's built, so he's built low to the ground, so he can break tackles because he's built so low to the ground, accelerates well. He has at least one 40-yard run in the last five games. He's averaging 11.8 yards per carry.
Oh, that's not bad.
So, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's okay.
Memphis faces UCF this weekend, so that'll be a fun AAC matchup. You know, we just don't talk about the SEC and Big Ten here. Talk about the AAC, too.
Yeah, that's true. Is there any Maction you wanted to talk about? Do we have Maction? Is that started? Is that like Thursday night Maction?
Well, we're starting to get the weekday games. Last night we had App State and Arkansas State.
Was that last night?
Yeah, that was last night.
Who pulled that one out?
I DVR'd it.
So okay, so you'll find out tonight.
I will be watching after I get home from the fair today.
Okay, I bet App State takes them down.
I purposely avoided the score. It's more enjoyable when you can watch it when there's still some intrigue about who's going to win. But
yeah, especially in an App State Arkansas State. Yeah, game. Well, you don't get those every Saturday.
Jalen Moore, running back, is a legit guy.
On which team is that?
App State.
Okay.
Name
an Arkansas State player.
Justice Hansen.
Okay. All right.
He's a quarterback who probably not going to be drafted, but you know he's one of those guys that if he goes to the East-West Shrine game and impresses, he can make move up a little bit, make a name for himself. So
all right, well,
see how that goes.
I don't know how to make the podcast any better or hit a higher point than Arkansas State App State preview. So we're going to end it now.
Perfect.
That is Trust the Tape for this week at Dane Brugler at DP Brugler on Twitter. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh at JC1053. 5-star that bad boy. Hit us with the 5 stars.
And tell us your best, the best fried food you've had at a fair.
Your favorite fried food and your favorite Arkansas State player. Hit us up. That's it. We'll see you next week.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.